Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Cruise, man.
Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys are getting your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to... I put it down the babies, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
game time!
Hey, welcome to another Parents Coaching Parents Network. I'm your host here on Blog Talk Radio, M.H. Scott. And as always, I'm going to promise you another wonderful show that's just going to provide you some information that you may have already heard or may have not already heard. This is just some information just to kind of sort of make you think a little bit and say, okay, well, maybe I need to get on the ball. Maybe I need to get started with, what I need to do to help my child out as he or she prepares and attempts to go through this recruiting process. What we're going to talk about this evening, folks, and many of you know I've been here doing the Parents Coaching Parents Network for a number of years now. All actuality, we're going into our fifth season here on Blog Talk Radio, but the program itself has existed for the past 8 years, starting in 2006. And in 2006, just simply starting just to say, hey, there's information out there that parents need to have, that parents need to make sure they understand. You know, every parent is not going to dig into and research and do all the necessary things that he or she needs to do to make sure that their child getting the best out of this recruiting process. You know, they're going to a lot of times rely on what their coaches are telling them or what another family member is telling them or what, some AAU coach or family friend or, one of these street agents or whomever is out there talking about and sharing with them on this recruiting process. So we started talking about that and sharing our knowledge and our understanding of the process with others back in 2006. Went live on Blog Talk Radio in 2010. And it's been wonderful and it's been great since then. So we're going to share some basic information this evening, and hopefully we'll get some questions, folks to call in and ask some questions about various things that we have talked about or that we have shared with many of you over the years. You know, we went on from just focusing on the recruiting aspects to, just understanding and how and developing the mindset of being our child's biggest advocate. And when we talk about being the biggest advocate, we're talking about being the biggest advocate across the board in all aspects of sports. So whether or not it's from a rec league, tiny tot, or training program all the way through to college and professional programs. You know, I look at the situation where, my son is currently in, down there in Atlanta, and you know the ugly conversation that has surfaced with Atlanta this week, and or should I say last week. But I am comfortable and I am confident that he understands his role in all that, and he understands how to benefit from a situation like that, and he understands enough about himself to know that no matter what anyone is saying, he knows who he is internally to maintain and keep his head held up high and fight and live through all adversity situations. You know, as always, we like to play my man, Mr. Keith Wright. Can't go on and start the show with Keith in here, and Keith just sharing some information with us on what he thinks. Let's go to Keith real quick.
A student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then be ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating dead. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands and in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
All right, Keith say he's living and he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. I'm telling you, folks, that's the key to that little piece. That's why I have to play it each and every show. I feel as though the show is not complete without playing that little piece for my man, Mr. Keith Wright, graduate of University of Harvard. He's making smart cool. If we could just share that concept and get that concept in the minds of our children, it is okay to be smart. Because once you are smart, you're cool, you're doing your thing. Matter of fact, I even heard the president echo that one time before. And I thought that was just so phenomenal. I wish I could have added that onto the back part of Keith's song, making smart cool. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Using that to your advantage. Using that intelligence in which you, which was bestowed upon you, using it to your advantage and being the great student that you are today. Being the great student that you are today. So, what are we going to talk about here this evening? We're going to talk about the Parents Coach of Parents Network. And when I say we're going to talk about the Parents Coach of Parents Network, basically, as I started out earlier on, just talking about, you know, what is the Parents Coach of Parents Network and why we're here and what we do and how we're going to do what we do to help you. Because it's all about helping you. At the end of the day, folks, the reality of it is it's all about helping you. It's all about helping you. It's not about what I'm able to do or who I think I am or, you know, patting myself on the back or, you know, just trying to say, well, I got these kids in school or I assisted this child or whoever or, you know, I'm connected to this person, that person or whomever. That's not it for me. That's not it for me. It's all about me providing what information, what knowledge, and what understanding that I have with other parents around the country. And I say around the country because, you know, we've had guests that called in from Texas. We've had guests that called in from Florida. We've had guests that called in from Washington State. We've had guests that called in from Detroit, Indiana, you know, and all other parts west. You know, we've had guests that called in from Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia. You know, we've had guests that called in from various states throughout the country. And we're going to keep it that way. We're going to keep it that way. We want to keep it one big happy family, a network of parents that can share information, share insight, share vision, share possibilities, parents throughout the country, to make sure that everyone is getting the best out of this recruiting process, and not only out of the recruiting process, as I shared with you earlier, but out of the whole thing of our children being involved in this sporting industry. Because you may have heard me say it from time to time, and I'll continue to say it, when we're dealing with coaches at from high school to college level, coaches are professional used car salesmen. you know, I say it jokingly that they can sell you the dough out of the biscuit without even cracking the crust. I feel that wholeheartedly because that's just the way it is. You know, you can sit down and you can be talking to a coach and the coach can fly from 0 to 60 in just a matter of seconds. And you, that child is totally lost in that conversation. We as parents have to be that buffer, have to be that buffer to keep that child on track, to keep that child on course to where he or she wants to be. The mission of the Parents Coach of Parents Network is to assist parents of student athletes in their pursuit of athletic scholarship. Let's take it a little further. Let's take it a step further. Not only in their pursuit of athletic scholarships, but once they get there to school, educating them on some of the things that they may want to be apprised of. You know, building that relationship, talking to them about building that relationship with the academic advisor, building that relationship with the strength coach, building that relationship with everyone on the coaching staff, and letting them know that you are the parent of that child and you hold them accountable for what that child does or fails to do as it relates to that scholarship and that institution. Parents, we can't ignore that part. We can't ignore that part. We can't overlook that part. We can't dismiss that part. That is something that has to happen. It has to happen each and every time. Because these are our children, and we are their biggest advocate. What are some of the things that Parents Coach of Parents Network do for those in the community? We make this type of information available. If somebody email me and say, hey, I didn't get a copy of the 2014-2015 Guide for College Bound Student Athletes, if I have that copy, I'm going to make sure I get that information to them. And not only making sure I get that information to them, once they have a chance to go through it, you know, and they have some questions, I'll be right there for them anytime to make sure that they have a full understanding of what they have digested coming out of that piece of literature. So we make information available. We also arrange for workshops. You know, if you are in the local area and we will travel depending on the situation, we'll be willing to travel, we can set up a workshop to provide you with this information. Actually, we can set up a series of workshops for you to make sure you understand the various things that it takes to put together a full recruiting package. So we arrange for workshops. Next, we reach out to those in need. You parents, you the guardian, grandmother, grandfather, whoever it may be, we can always reach out to the young athlete and sell them a bill of goods and do the professional used car salesman thing on them. But that's not our focus. Our focus is to reach out to the parents because at the end of the day, what we want to do is to build a stronger bond between the parent and the child as a student athlete, as an athlete. But now that parent is able to talk the same language. Now that parent is understanding what your child is talking about when he's talking about two-a-days. Now the parent understands when the child says, I need to take my SAT over. And knowing that it's not a Saturday test. So we reach out to those in need. Coaches and parents. We have no problem with reaching out to coaches and talking to coaches. If we know someone, we can reach out to a coach and say, hey, coach, do you have some parents or whoever that needs some assistance? We can work with you and help you get them through the process. You know, that's the bond that we like to try to build with everyone, with everyone. You know, there's been many times that we've had a number of coaches that have shied away from our support or our services because I'm not sure if they felt as though we were trying to step into their arena, or we were trying to guide their children in another direction. I'm not trying to guide a child away from that coach that they have built a bond with, built a relationship with, and send them off to another school. Me personally, Michael A. Scott, I am a firm believer of, okay, if you started at the school, you finish at that school. Now, let's not do this thing of, and we're talking about focusing right now on the high school. Let's not do that thing of reclassifying or this. You know, in my day, and many of you can relate to this, in my day, if you repeated a grade, you were considered what? Answer that question, folks. If you repeated a grade, a lot of times your peers looked at you that has advanced who went on to do, you know, their thing at the next high level. They looked at you as though something was wrong. But nowadays, it's being accepted amongst our young men to repeat a grade. And they've actually put a high price, high dollar title on it, reclassifying. Well, the NCAA is here to tell you that if you decide to reclassify, you're doing it for your own good. You're not doing it for the benefit of them, because they're going to stop at the end of 4 years. After they look at 4 years of your information, from the time you start your freshman year, 4 years later, that's what they're looking at. So we connect with coaches to make sure that coaches and parents alike are working for the same thing, for the best of our children. We'll come back to that subject in a second. We eliminate the myths. There's a whole lot of myths out there, you know, such as, oh, well, my child's going to get a full ride, a full four-year scholarship. Not, come on, folks, scholarship is one academic year at a time. One academic year at a time. And we'll talk more about that here in a minute. We knock out a whole lot of those myths. You know, your child being the best child in that respective city. Okay, what are you going to do? Are you going to sit back and wait for the coach to come to your child? Because what I want you to understand, what I want you to know, and what I want you to really and truly realize, how many children are in your area? How many schools are in your area? You're looking for one coach to come and find your child in that one particular school. Needle in the haystack. Why not pull your child not out of that school, not out of that program, but why not place that child in an environment where that coach is going to be, and that coach has an opportunity to view not only your child, but other children that are like-minded. You have to give your child that exposure. We're going to talk about exposure here shortly, but you have to give that child that exposure. So we're here to help you eliminate the myths, eliminate fear or the various myths that you hear out there. 4 year scholarship, full ride. Not next, we do what we do. We talk, we teach, and we motivate. We talk, we teach, and we motivate. Shows like right here today, here on Blog Talk Radio, we're talking, we're teaching, and hopefully we're motivating some of you to get up and take some additional action. We talk, we teach, and we motivate. Next, we ensure the possibility. We give you those tools that it takes to say, okay, if I utilize these tools, and I use these tools to my advantage, will my child be successful at making getting the chance to be recruited. We ensure those possibilities because we provide you with the tools. We provide you with those tools because that is a big thing. We ensure the possibility. Next, at no time ever will we ever give up on you. We will never give up on you. We will never give up on your child. I don't care if your child's about to walk across the stage mid to late June. There's always a possibility. I'm not going to tell you or your child, well, you don't miss the mark. I know organizations and programs and folks out there that pass on that information. No. I know a young man right now that's out there that's looking at going to college, and, you know, he missed the opportunity to get recruited coming out of high school. So what is he doing? He's making the best of it. He's still involved in the academic setting. And from there, what is he doing? He is trying to get his education on. He is trying to get his education on. And how is he trying to get his education on? He's enrolled in a prep school. He's not there for the academic purpose. He's there to get some additional exposure. He's there to get some additional exposure. So we never give up on him. Yes, he's already graduated from high school, but we're going to work with him until we get him into a four-year institution and playing the game that he's loved. Last but not least, parents, all of this is a moot point if your child doesn't graduate. All of this is a moot point if your child doesn't graduate. So we have to make sure that that graduation is, without a doubt, at the top of your child's list. Again, it's going right through. We're making the information available for you. We're arranging for workshops. We're reaching out for those who are in need. We're contacting coaches and parents. We're eliminating the fear or the myths. We're talking, teaching, and motivating. We're assuring the possibility. Never giving up on you. Last but not least, your child finishing off the day or capping everything off by graduating. If you had a chance to jot those down, or if you didn't get a chance to jot those down, next time, put up their acronym, marketing. Marketing, because at the end of the day, that's what you're learning how to do. We're going to learn how to market our children. Market our children. Okay? How do we go about marketing our children? A few things that we must know in order to get deeply into this recruiting process. Marketing our children, you know, we have to be aware of what our child's grade point average is. What is our child's grade point average? When I talk about the grade point average, I'm talking about the grade point average solely focused on your core courses. And I'll tell you more about the core courses here in a minute, but your core courses are your English, math, science, and social studies. Or social science, however you want to look at it, however you want to phrase it. Those are your core courses. But we have to be aware of what our child's grade point average is. What's the GPA? What is the GPA? Next, like I just said a second ago, core courses. If you go to the eligibility website, you click on the tabs at the top. It gives you a pull-down menu, and you click on parents' information. So you need to go out there and look up what are the core courses for your child? What are the core courses for your child's school? Excuse me. What are the core courses for your child's school? It will list every core course that the NCAA has registered for your child's school. Parents, I need you to note this because this is a big. This is the real biggie. You cannot take it for granted. Cannot take it for granted that your child's core courses are the same as the core courses of some other child that attends another school. That is not the case. The core courses, yes. English, math, and science, and social studies, yes. Those are the headings for the core courses. but the courses that the classes that are actually offered at your child at your child's particular school, you have to know them. Your child has to be aware of them. Your child's guidance counselor has to be aware of them as he or she sits down and puts together their schedule, and you look it over and you approve it. Know what classes you're looking at. Are there classes that are listed on the core course list? Take it for granted that drama class is an English credit. May or may not be. You have to look at it on the core course list. Journalism is an English credit. May or may not be. Have to look at it on the core course list. So parents, you have to know what the core classes are. You have to know what your core classes are. And if you go to the Eligibility Center website, it'll tell you what the core classes are. Right there in front of you. Pull up your child's school and got every single core course that you have to be familiar with right there in front of you. Next, the standardized tests, PSAT, SAT, ACT. We'll get a little bit more in depth on them here in a second. But your child has to be registered to take the PSAT sophomore year or as soon as possible. SAT, no later than the end of the sophomore year going into the junior year. No, test as many times as possible. If your child is more of a test taker and understand testing strategies, I recommend the SAT. If your child follows more of the school curriculum and more student in sciences and math and things of that nature, I recommend the ACT. Next, the Eligibility Center, a.k.a. the Clearinghouse. Know what it is? It's a repository for information for all your child's information. The score that he or she received on the PSAT or on the ACT or the SAT and what their grade point averages is coming off of their transcript. That information is being stored at the Eligibility Center. And once they have that information, they can look it over and see whether or not your child is even eligible to receive an athletic scholarship. So know what the Eligibility Center is and how they function, how they work, how they operate. Next, let's talk about the camps, the clinics, exposure. Huge, parents. Huge. If you're looking at the guy for college-bound student-athlete, whether or not it's the 2012 to 2013 version or whether or not it's the 2014 to 2015 version, it gives you very little information about camps and clinics and exposure. But that is the make-or-break situation in your recruiting process. Your child has to be seen by somebody somewhere. And far too often times, that somebody somewhere is not going to be the person that comes to your high school. Not unless you have a phenomenal, huge sports program such as football and your school is already recognized, then you may have someone coming there. But even still, if you want your child to stand out, then get your child out to some of these evaluation camps and clinics and combines and all-star games and showcases and all these other things that they have out there. Know which ones to go to, because all money is not good money. And what I mean by that, if it's not during a recruiting period or not during the evaluation period and a college coach could be out there observing your child, then why attend? So the child can get some extra workout time in. Okay, well, the child can also get injured or get burnt out. So know about the evaluation times and the recruiting times and all those other things and get your child out for some exposure. He has to be seen. She has to be seen at the various events. Early August is not a good time for NCAA coaches to be out there. June is not a good time for NCAA coaches to be out there. July is a hot month. They're at all the major venues. They're at all the major activities as far as football and basketball is concerned. Exposure. Next, we have websites, highlight tapes, DVDs, links, all these other things. Why pay for someone's services and you can simply have someone, or you can pay for someone's services to put together a nice little highlight tape for you, or just record a full game and then post that game up on YouTube, which is a free service. It's a free service. You utilize that link each and every day and all day long to get information out to the various coaches. Learn to use these things to your advantage, folks, because that highlight tape, if your child is unable to get out to some of these other major events, then that highlight tape may be the key to open up the door to establish a link of communication with that coach. Next, we're talking about selecting a college or university or institution. Parents, we hear it all the time. Well, your child's not going there for that coach. Your child's going there for that institution. We can look at it either way. If your child's playing sports, I strongly say that you establish a very strong, very firm, and very direct link with that coach at that institution. Because you want your child, at the end of the day, to continue on to develop and be the young man or young lady that you have instilled upon him or her at the end of the day. But if that coach is not paying attention to that and you are a distance away from him or her, then how is that child going to continue to grow? You have to make sure that that information is still being passed on to your child. So when you are selecting that school, when you are selecting that institution, knowing that you're selecting that institution to ensure that your child is going to get the best out of his or her experience, the best out of his or her experience. What type of budget does that school travel to their various activities via bus? If they travel via bus, how long are they going away from the school setting? And if they're going away from the school setting for an extended period of time, then is there some type of academic support that travels with them to make sure that they're still maintaining what they have to do in the classroom? Because at the end of the day, you know as well as I know that the projects, programs, assignments, and everything else is still going to be required when that child gets back to that institution. So when you're selecting a college institution, a university, make sure you check all these things out. What type of medical plan does that institution have for your child in the event that your child does get hurt? Ask the hard questions, please. Ask the hard questions. Campus tours. Get on campus as often as you can. Get on the campus as often as you can. Make sure that everybody knows that you've been there and you're coming there to check out the school. All right. So we've been talking for a good little while, folks, and I just want to make sure that everybody is understanding what it is to get into this recruiting process. I want to take a little quick break, and then we're going to come back here on the Parents Coaching Parents Network. Here on Blog Talk Radio.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
What is the NAIA?
The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics is the organizing body that oversees college athletics for its member schools. Schools who are members of the NAIA are made of smaller colleges located in the United States and Canada. The NAIA was established in 1952 as an organization to establish competition between colleges. The NAIA sponsors 13 different sports and runs 23 annual championships for those sports in both men's and women's athletics. The NAIA has different member schools than the NCAA and has different eligibility requirements as well. To make sure you are eligible to compete at an NAIA school, you need to register with the NAIA Eligibility Center at playnaia.org. Feel free to learn more at our website, athleticscholarships.net. Get recruited to play college sports today.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
All right, we're back. And hopefully we have covered some information or touched upon something that you may have had some questions about. If you want to join in on the conversation, you can always reach us at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. Love to have you join in on the conversation. If you have some questions or anything that you want to share with us this evening, or you may be a parent that's out there that have experienced the recruiting process as well, and you just want to share your insight with other parents around the country, by all means, please chime in. Please chime in. I am not by no means claiming to be the expert of all, the know-all, end-all, be-all. No, that is not the case here. That is why we are a network of parents, and we are our children's biggest advocate. Let's continue on with the conversation. We were talking about the recruiting process and marketing your child, knowing that you have information on your child's GPA, know what the core courses are. You've taken your standardized test, or your child has taken a standardized test being PSAT. Knowing about the Eligibility Center, how does the Eligibility Center support you? What is the Eligibility Center? Being that repository of information for your GPA, your transcript information, your SAT scores, and what institutions are you looking at? Also ensuring that your child understands that he or she has to get that exposure, and you understanding that they have to get that exposure. Exposure is the key, one of the key pieces to becoming recruited. You know, and another way you can possibly do that is putting together a good highlight tape or reel or whatever. And I know I say reel, but, you know, we ain't doing reel to reels anymore, but still putting together a good highlight tape or reel or link where someone can see your child in action, whether or not it's a full game or whether or not it's just short clips of your child in action doing what he or she do best on the athletic field. Next, selecting your college, university, or institution. It's key, folks. It's key. You have to feel comfortable at the end of the day when you get in your car and look in your rearview mirror that your child is going to be okay and your child is in the best possible hands until you get back there to return. Last but not least, taking tours of various campuses. I look at it like this, folks. If the campus is within 3 to 4 hours away from me, I'll drive out there on the weekend, take a tour of the campus, and get my unofficial visit out of the way. Now, if the campus is a little further off, then we have to go ahead and look more towards the official visit thing. But we can do them tours of the campus, whether or not it be an official visit or whether or not it be an unofficial visit. All right, next thing I want to talk about the Division I, Division II core course requirements. Division I and Division II core course requirements. Now, these requirements will go into effect. Well, I should say these requirements will make a drastic change come August 1st of 2016. But for what I'm going to cover right now is stuff that we're looking at right this minute. And in another program, I'll touch on the requirements for August 1st of 2016. But as of right now, I'm going to talk about what we have right here in front of us as of 2008. For Division I, 16 core classes. That means 4 years of English. 4 years of English. English, looking at the core class list again, trying to see what classes is listed on there that says falls as an English credit. 4 years of English. 3 years of math. 3 years of math. 2 years of natural or physical science. 1 year of an additional English, math, or science. 2 years of social science, your social studies. And 4 years of additional courses. Anything from a foreign language, non-doctoral religion, philosophy, or any of the above, English, math, or science. You have to have an additional 4 years of it. So it's not saying that you have to have a foreign language. That's another one of those myths, folks, that we've been pushing upon our kids. Now, that foreign language is a good plus, but it's not a major requirement. It is not a major requirement. Next, we have the requirements for Division II. Division II, 14 core courses, which is going to change up to 16 core courses. And the 14 core courses bounces out to 3 years of English, 2 years of math, 2 years of natural physical science, 2 years of additional English, math, or science, 2 years of social science, 3 years of additional courses. Again, similar to what we had in the Division I level, foreign language, non-doctoral religion, philosophy, or any of the areas that I already listed above. All right? 14 core courses for your Division II, 16 core courses for your Division I. SATs. SAT. SAT versus the ACT. Let's look at the two differences. Your SAT, it runs 3 hours and 45 minutes long. 3 hours and 45 minutes long. It is a 3 hour and 45 minute exam. It proceeds in the order of difficulty. It proceeds in the order of difficulty. It's heavy in vocabulary. So if your child is good at vocabulary words, it's heavy in vocabulary. It tests you on geometry and algebra. Geometry and algebra. It's 50%. Math is 50% of your score. Math is 50% of your score. It is not based on the school curriculum. So like I said earlier, if your child is good at test-taking strategies, SAT may be his or her best ticket. If you're guessing, there's a penalty for guessing on the SAT. There's no science on the SAT, no English grammar on the SAT. Math formulas are provided, point deduction for wrong answers. A quarter of a point deduction for wrong answers. That's your SAT. Again, if you have any questions or you want me to go back through that again or send you some information on it, you can always reach out to us here at the Parents Coach the Parents Network at pcphr@aol.com. pcphr@aol.com. Now, let's talk about the ACT. ACT is 3 hours long. It's a 3-hour exam. No order of difficulty. It's heavy in grammar and reading. Grammar and reading. You are tested in algebra, geometry, and trigonometry. Algebra, geometry, and trigonometry. But your math is only 25% of your score. Whereas, remember I said the SAT, math is 50% of the score. Your math is 25% of the score for your ACT. It follows a school curriculum. It follows a school curriculum base. There's no penalty for guessing. Science, there's a science reasoning section. The math formulas are not provided. math formulas are not provided. No penalty for wrong answers. No penalty for wrong answers. So, figure out which one best works out for your child and get him or her registered as soon as possible. Now, going into the sliding scale. Now, I'm going to be very quick here talking about the sliding scale because if you got the grade point average, you got the grade point average. And the sliding scale will be changing here with the new requirements as of 2016 anyway. But what I want you to know about the sliding scale, and the sliding scale is the NCAA sliding scale for Division I qualification. Division I qualification. If you have a GPA, grade point average, of 3.55 or above, the maximum score that you need on your SAT is 400 points. The maximum score you need on your SAT is 400 points. The maximum score that you will need on your ACT is 37 points. Maximum score you'll need on your ACT is 37 points. And it goes down by 0.025 increment all the way down to 2.0. So in other words, it goes from 3.55 to 3.525, 3.500 to 3.475 to 3.450, so on and so forth, all the way down to 2.0. Now, if your child gets a 2.0, which is a C average, 2.0 grade point average from core courses only, the maximum score they will need on their SAT, 1,010 points, 1,010 points. ACT, on the ACT, they will need a total of 86 points, 86 points. Now, for these scores and for this sliding scale, they are only computing and calculating the scores coming from your verbal and your math scores only. We're not talking anything about the essay because that part is not counted as far as NCAA eligibility. They're talking about your reading and your math scores only. Remember that, folks. Your reading and your math scores only. Again, if you want to chime in on the conversation, you can always chime in on the conversation at 917-889-8095. 917-889-8095. Love to hear from you. If you have any questions or anything I covered this evening that was confusing or not clear to you, by all means, step on up and ask that question. Well, we're going to continue on. Next, we're going to talk about some of the things that you may or may not know. Some things that you may not know. Let's look at it from your child being a freshman. As a freshman, no in-person, off-campus contact can your child have with a coach or anyone on that coaching staff. Folks, think about what I just said. As a freshman, no in-person, off-campus contact with a coach or anyone from that coaching staff. Telephone calls or personal correspondence from a coach can be made to you or your parents or your legal guardian. In other words, no. None of that is happening. I'm going to read this again to make sure you fully understand it. No in-person, off-campus contact, telephone calls, or personal correspondence from a coach or anyone of his staff can be made to the athlete or the parent or the legal guardian if your child is a freshman. So when you hear about all this stuff that the coach is sending, the freshman letters and all this old kind of stuff, there's something going on that we need to know about. There's a problem there. As a sophomore, the coaching staff or members of his staff is limited to contact or evaluate you throughout your high school career, only in accordance with the NCAA recruiting regulation. Excuse me, I think I jumped ahead of myself. I was talking about sophomores, but then I was sharing the information with you on what a senior can do. Okay, as a sophomore, collect or toll-free calls are only permitted at the conclusion of your sophomore year in high school. Collect or toll-free calls, and nowadays, you know, we got cell phones, so, you know, this is old verbiage, are only permitted at the conclusion of your sophomore year in high school. Also, coaches may begin sending correspondence, you know, little letters and all this other little stuff that they send out there, all that kind of stuff. All right, that was your sophomore year. Your junior year, coaches may have face-to-face contact with you beginning April 1st of your junior year in high school. Also, official visits to the university is permitted beginning January 1st of your junior year in high school. So in other words, a whole lot of things are available to you once you become a junior. So when you start to hear about folks doing all these things as sophomores and things as freshmen, okay, I don't know what recruiting calendar they're going under and what these coaches are doing, but that type of correspondence is a big-time no-no. As we've seen with the women's coach up there, UConn, when he tried to reach out to the young lady that was just simply playing baseball in the Little League baseball. Got his hand slapped because he stepped over his bounds trying to contact her one time too many. One time too many. So, next we have as a senior. As a senior, the coaching staff and members of the coaching staff of university are limited to the contact and the evaluation throughout the high school career. In accordance with, you know, they're limited to what they can do, but they have to make sure they are in accordance with the NCAA recruiting regulations. Again, if you want to chime in on the conversation, you can always chime in on the conversation. You can reach us at 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095. If you press option one, as soon as you get connected to Blog Talk Radio, that'll let me know that there's a caller in the queue, and then we can go from there as far as questions that you may have. Any questions that you may have. Well, folks, some other things that we do and we work towards as far as, you know, helping you as a parent get on track or get a better understanding of what your child has to do to reach that level or reach that stage of being recruited. Everything that I covered this evening, we're here to support you with. We're here to help guide you with. We're not just going to throw the information at you and then step back and say, hey, you're on your own. That's not what we plan to do. That's not our goal. That's not our mission. That's not our focus. Our focus is to ensure that not only your child, but you as a parent, as a guardian, assist your child in getting the best out of this situation. The best out of this situation. Whether or not your child is going from high school to a junior college, from high school, to a prep school, from high school to an NAIA program, from high school to a Division III, Division II, Division I program, whatever. Your child is getting the best out of that situation and you feeling comfortable about it at the end of the day. If we're not there to support you in doing at least that much, we haven't done our job. We haven't fulfilled all basic requirements of being our children's biggest advocate. We live on the motto of help us help you. Help only do that. We can only do that through a strong network of parents that are willing to work with and through each other and ensure that our children get the best out of every situation. As we prepare to wind down there, folks, and I know I shared quite a bit of information with you this evening. As always, you can find us on Facebook at the Parents Coach of Parents Network. You can find us on Twitter, P Network. And you can also find us on Instagram. And right now, there may not be a whole lot up on Instagram because I'm not a big Instagram person, but at some point in time, I will become a little bit more visible and active on Instagram as well. But you can find us on Instagram PCP Network as well. PCP Network as well. We love to hear from you. If you want to shoot us an email, you have any questions for us, you didn't want to chime in on the conversation this evening, and you had a question for us, you can always reach us at pcphr@aol.com, pcphr@aol.com. Or if you just want to just call and leave a message, or you know, don't want to send an email, you just want to just call and leave a message, you can do that as well. You can reach us at, let me give you this number, and that number is also posted on our Facebook page as well, which is Parents Go to Parents Network on Facebook. That number is posted on our Facebook page, and that number is 641-715-3900, 641-715-3900, and then once you put that in, reach out to our extension, which is our extension is 281-508, 281-508, pound sign after that, and you'll be able to leave us a message and just simply let us know if you have any questions, have any thoughts, have any concerns, or just let us know how can we support you, how can we help you. Like I said, as always, help us help you. That's what we have to live off of because this is not here for us. You know, we've had a very successful opportunity and time during this here recruiting process. Why not share that information? Why not share that knowledge? Why not share that insight for others? Because they're constantly, continuously, parents going through this process every day. A new set of parents are going through this process every day. So if this network ever manifested into the a number of parents around the country and everybody linked up, oh, it would be such a beautiful thing. You know, with that type of leverage, you would see so many changes at the NCAA level. And I'm not saying that we're trying to revamp or revise the NCAA. I'm just simply saying that parents would be a voice of reasoning to the NCAA. Because once you get your child registered at the clearinghouse, you may not hear from the NCAA again, parents. And I'm just being honest with you, you know. But you'll hear about your child's name on TV. Let your child go out there and do something that that the NCAA feels as though is newsworthy. Then you'll hear about that. You know, you'll hear about the violations. And even when they go through and do all that, I still wonder to this day why aren't parents brought into some of these conversations, because a lot of times these 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old young men and women aren't savvy enough to stand toe-to-toe with some of these bureaucrats and other folks that's out there that are in the face of our children. And definitely many of them are not savvy enough to hold their own when they got some camera in their face or some fast-talking person trying to manipulate their conversation or redirect their conversation or try to guide their conversation, you know, when one of these incidences have occurred. Well, folks, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. We've been on here for an hour plus now, and I'm just simply going to say, hey, I'm glad you were able to join us this evening. It's been a great time. We've shared some information with you, and we will be back again next Sunday, same time, 9:30. And actually, my mentor is going to be on with us next week, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the drama that took place in the sporting industry last week. We're going to talk about some of that, and I think some of the stuff that he's going to share with us, I think it may be another eye-opening moment. So on that note, I'm going to prepare to close out. And as always, I give my man Keith a little opportunity to close out on us. You folks have a great week, a wonderful week. And again, if you need anything from us, please reach out to us. Talk to you later. Have a great day.
Student of the game, had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I make it more cool. That's how I do.
Have a great evening. Parents for the Parents Network. We out.